Good morning. Couple announcements. December the 8th, that's the day, Christmas play for the kids, 4 o'clock. Lutheran Men in Mission will be doing the meal on Wednesday night for the Advent meal. Fellowship Committee will be preparing the luminaries. When are we doing that? 4 o'clock today, they're going to be cutting luminaries. So anybody wants to help, come on out. Council meeting Monday, tomorrow. All new members, the 4 new members, are welcome to attend. The audit is right around the corner. So if you're a committee head, go ahead and start working on your audit. I believe our date for that is Super Bowl Sunday, as always. I think it's February the 2nd. The unwrapped presents for Central Davidson High School, I believe there's 3 or 4 left on the tree. We need some help with that. We've got some prayer shawls.
About 3 weeks ago, we blessed 3 prayer shawls for my sister, her husband, and my mother. And my sister sent back, thank Gayla Kepley and the entire church for their lovely prayer shawls. We feel extra loved and cuddly going into the winter. Thank you.
This first one is for Lola Cross. I believe she worked in the cafeteria, and a lot of folks probably know her. She is at hospice, so she needs our prayers. And then these 3 are, Kathy Conrad's mother is needing care. And so we gave Kathy a prayer shawl a couple weeks ago. So these are for her other sisters, Kathy's sisters, Teresa Connor, Mitty Cushman, Donna Haynes, because they're having to be caregivers for their mother, and it's very stressful, so they need prayers. Oh, and I'd like to meet with Agape just for a very short meeting right after church.
Christmas Eve candlelight service will be on Christmas Eve, the 24th. Starts at 9:30, special music, service at 10. Birthdays, I won't forget it this week. Happy birthday to Nicole Myers, Glenna Garner, Madison Laura Pope, Jennifer Blower, Jessica Ferguson, and happy anniversary to everybody. Thank you.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, nurture our growth as people of repentance and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Blessed are you, God of hope, for you promised to bring forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, who will bring justice to the poor, who will deliver the needy and crush the opposer, who will stand as a signal of hope for all people. As we light these candles, turn our wills to the bearer of fruit of repentance. Transform our hearts to live in justice and harmony with one another, and fix our eyes on the root of Jesse, Jesus Christ, the hope of all nations. O people of hope, come. Let us rejoice in the faithfulness of the Lord. Amen.
Children to come forward. Try to get it a little bit darker in here for a little bit, even though these windows give us beautiful light. Well, guys, I've got a couple of things in my hand that I brought this morning. Anybody know what these are?
Flashlights.
Flashlights. What do you do? What do you use a flashlight for?
Look.
Okay, to look.
To track.
To track.
When
the electricity goes off, we can see. So, how does a flashlight work? What do you do?
You press the button on the bottom.
What about that one? You pull the trigger on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. So shine it back there. See if it'll shine on that back wall back there. See? There you go. So that flashlight could light our way. Well, how about this one? And it's got a third setting. It'll flash. Batteries might be low on it. So let's think about this. Last week, Tina talked about Advent. We're getting ready for something to happen in a few weeks. What are we getting ready for? We're getting ready for Jesus, the birth of Jesus. Okay? What's one of the names that we call Jesus?
Baby.
Think about what we got. Baby Jesus, that's right. But what is he? The light, that's right, the light of the world. So today in our gospel lesson, God sends someone that's like a forerunner, he's a forerunner to the light. His name is John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist is a little bit different. He doesn't wear fine clothes like we do. He wears camel hair clothing and a leather belt. And what did you guys have for breakfast this morning? Nothing.
Cinnamon rolls.
Cinnamon rolls.
Chicken.
So nobody had wild honey and locusts? You didn't eat a bunch of grasshoppers this morning with With honey drenched all over it? You had cereal. You and your brother had cereal. That's awesome.
I had cereal and cinnamon rolls.
And cinnamon rolls. You were hungry.
We had cereal.
Okay. So, John the Baptist was preparing the way. And he came out of the wilderness, and he told people to prepare the way. So, he was sort of acting like our flashlight. He was shining a light and shining a path for those to follow, letting them know that Jesus was coming. Okay. Now the timing's off just a little bit because John the Baptist wasn't quite he wasn't quite preaching at the time that Jesus was born, but this is for later. Okay, when we get ready to celebrate Easter. Okay. All right. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for sending us the light. Let us prepare for that light and do good things to help others. Amen. All right, thank you, folks. Event comes from Isaiah, the 11th chapter. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the God of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, because they're young, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Word of God, word of life. Our psalm for today is Psalm 72. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son.
May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice.
May the mountains yield prosperity for the people, and the hills in the righteousness. May he live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations.
May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth.
In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound until the moon is no more. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May his glory fill the whole earth. Amen and amen. A reading from Romans. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Word of God, word of life.
Gospel according to St. Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will gather his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. The Gospel of the Lord. Over Friday night and Saturday, we were up in Hickory for a funeral and then for the concert for Lenore Ryan, and heard a wonderful concert, and very enjoyable. While we were there, we went to out to eat at a Chick-fil-A one night, and we said grace as we sat to eat, and it reminded me of an old story about a Christian farmer who spent the day in the city, went to a diner to have his lunch, and he bowed his head and said his prayers. There was a young man, a group of young men sitting next to him, and they thought this was very amusing. Now, they didn't interrupt his prayers, but when he finished, they said, hey, old man, does everybody do that out where you live? Old man very calmly and very respectfully replied, no, son, the pigs don't. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Today is about remembering, repenting, reclaiming the promise of God, and rehearsing living out God's will and grace and God's law and rule. Advent's a time of waiting and preparation. Our lessons and music, worship, focus on Christ's coming. We hear lessons that relate to that coming. One from Isaiah talks about the root of Jesse. And there is this image of the tree of life that was used a lot in the ancient world, not the tree of life as we think of it in terms of the Garden of Eden, but a tree of life that saw the king or the ruler as the root and the source of everything. And from that, we come to speak, some churches observe a Jesse tree, which has lots of symbols from the Old Testament that lead us to Christ as we come to Christmas. The idea that Jesus came from the root and stump of Jesse. And I always like to wear this little cross. Usually the crosses that clergy wear are fairly elaborate and substantial. This little cross was carved by a member of the congregation I served in China Grove. There was an old tree that had been with the church for maybe a century, and it finally got sick and died. He carved crosses from the wood of that tree and gave them to all the members of the congregation, either a cross they could wear or a small cross they could put on a shelf and keep in their home so that they had that reminder. And he was a craftsman and did all these for the congregation, gave them away. When I got there, that had happened several years earlier. He had a few left, and he gave my wife one for a shelf and gave me one to wear. And I wear that often when I preach. That reminds me that we're all tied to the past and to God's creation. It reminds me that we are connected to one another. And the images take us back to the Old Testament, to this idea of a tree of life, and the idea that Christ comes from the stump of that tree, or the root of that tree, and ties together the Old Testament and the New Testament in that understanding. Isaiah looked with hope for the future. And for us as Christians, when we read Isaiah's words, we see and understand Christ to be present in those words. And this passage from the gospel reminds us of God's work in the Old Testament. John's description very much reminds us of Elijah's description in the Old Testament. John's words are based on a promise in the Old Testament, a way being made in the wilderness for someone to come, the source of light, as you noted earlier. And Jesus, as a child of the light and the source of the light, calls us to live in that light. Paul's reading that we had this morning reminds us of how God works within his kingdom, works within his creation. It reminds us that Christ came not only for the Jews, not only for the Christians, but for all the world, for all of creation. In this season of Advent, of waiting and preparation, our music, our lessons, our worship focus on Christ's coming. We're called to prepare our hearts and minds for that coming. The thing is, we live in a world with lots of other issues and pressures. There are tensions in the world that sometimes distract us from the good news, whether that's international trade and those problems that it relates to, nuclear weapons and their spread, drug cartels and their violence, terrorism that strikes unexpectedly in large ways or small. The angry divide in our own nation's politics. All these that are going on around us create stress in our world and distract us from God's grace. On top of that, we have all the stresses of daily life, whether of illness, problems at our jobs and work, finances, family divisions, hurt feelings. So when we come to this holiday that celebrates all of the goodness of God's grace and mercy, sometimes people find it to be very emotional or stressful or even depressing as they struggle with these tensions and stresses in their life, especially when there are memories tied to it of those we love who have died and gone before, those we love who are sick, families that are divided either by division within the family or simply by distance in this modern world where people live oftentimes far away from those they love. These reminders tell us that life is transient and that suffering comes in the midst of life. But in the midst of that, we have God's love and God's promise. This season of preparation is intended to help us work through some of the challenges and difficulties and losses of life as we prepare our hearts and minds to celebrate the coming of Christ, to celebrate the promise that Christ will return, to celebrate even the promise that Christ comes to us each time we gather to hear His word and to share in His Holy Supper. The season has reminders. We look at the world and see reminders of buying and gift giving and celebrating and partying and travel and all these things. But in the church, we have reminders of other things, of a better world, a world in which youth dream of peace, in which seniors dream with anticipation, perhaps, and see visions of those they love, of a world that might be yet, of those they someday hope to see again. All around us, those sights and sounds of Christmas, the ads, the lights, the decoration, the music, we enjoy those. I enjoy those, at least. I think many people do. Going out and seeing the lights and decorating for the season. But in the church, we have reminders of other things. We have chrismon trees, and the chrismon tree reminds us of God's work throughout the Old Testament that leads us to Christ. All those symbols relate to who Christ is and who Christ can be for us and for all people. They relate to God's love and how God's love was revealed throughout the history of the Old Testament. Our scenes of the crash remind us of a world that once was a world very different from ours, but a world that was in so many ways like ours. Those things that happened long ago, and yet we wait and hope and prepare for each year. Our lessons, our music, our liturgy focus on Christ's coming. We're called to prepare our hearts and minds for that coming. That coming of the baby Jesus again, that coming of Christ each time we gather to worship, that coming of Christ someday when Christ returns and gathers His people home. Our Advent music is celebratory, but it also is hopeful, and it's preparation. It's a little different from Christmas music. Some people find it hard to sing, but we only sing them a few times a year, so that's sometimes why it's not so easy to sing them as the other song. But they're intended to fill us with a vision of hope and anticipation of the season. And that hope and anticipation is one of a better world, where a wolf shall lie down with a lamb, and a little child shall lead them, and the lion shall eat straw like a fox. These images, they come straight out of the Garden of Eden. It's a passage that assures us that in the end, God triumphs. And in the end, God's ultimate will is accomplished despite the struggles in this life. Terrible things can happen. Violent acts by unstable people, gangs and illegal drugs and terrorism and war. We heard this week of the shooting at a military base. Hunger, homelessness, poverty, disease. Even newlyweds, a long way from home, with no place to stay, and a baby on the way. In the midst of life's journey, we're called to trust God, just as in the midst of their journey all those centuries ago, that young couple trusted God as they went into a place with no place to stay, no one waiting to receive them. They went as God called them to go, trusting and believing. The thing is, in the world we live in, there are lots of people who are waiting still, victims of war, or torture or economic injustice, victims of religious persecution, not just Christians, but Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, Sikhs, members of small sects like the Yazidis, who have ties to the Muslims but are seen by the Muslims as children of the devil. Sometimes persecution comes in unexpected ways, in surprising places. A Muslim writer who has worked for peace and argued and written for peace was recently labeled an Islamophobic by an organization that purports to identify hate groups. And yet he himself is Muslim. But he was calling for peace and for an end to violence and an end to terror. Whatever circumstances, all these people wait for hope, for safety and peace. Mary and Joseph waited because the baby had to be born into Bethlehem to fulfill the promise. We wait in our daily life. Oftentimes we wait for medical tests. We wait to get better. We wait to hear about a job we've applied for. We wait for friends to come. We wait until we get home to see our family. And there is a time for many of us when we wait indeed for death. In the midst of our life, waiting can be a blessing, as it was for them. As we wait to heal, we have time to reflect on our lives and what's truly important. As we wait for friends to come, we have time to prepare our homes and a meal. As we wait to see our family, we have time to pack and to remember and to plan. Even as we wait for death, we have time to prepare our heart, to repent, to say goodbye, to make amends as we return to God. As hard as it is to wait, we need to be thankful for times of waiting. If nothing else, at least perhaps it teaches us patience. Waiting, even for Christmas, though, is not to be a time of idleness, spiritual idleness especially, but rather faithfulness. Time we set aside to pray and to reflect on our life. Time we set aside to reflect on God's grace in our life. Time to witness to our faith, whether it's in sharing our material blessings through a program in schools or through a community kitchen or shelter, whether it's to share our time with someone who is sick or in the hospital, whether it's to share an ear for someone who is dealing with a crisis or a broken relationship. The church exists to serve Christ and others. Our focus should always be on the great commandment to love one another and the great commission to share the good news. Advent is a time to purify our hearts and strengthen our faith so that we can be ready fully to welcome Christ. We need to prepare so that we are ready for the baby's birth, for Christ's presence in word and sacrament, for Christ's return, and our own rebirth into a new life. We need to live out our hope and be led by the compassion that Jesus taught us. Advent reminds us that in the end, God triumphs. In the end, God's ultimate will is accomplished. The fulfillment of prophecies will come. Certainly, terrible things happen in this world, but also much that is good and much joy and many opportunities to share the good in our lives with those around us. In the midst of our life's journey, on the good days and bad, we're called to trust God just as in the midst of that journey long ago, Mary and Joseph trusted God. They believed that God in the end would fulfill his promise, but they had to wait. The time had to be fulfilled. The baby had to be born in Bethlehem. So we too wait. But in this time of waiting, we are called to be thankful. We are called to look to who we are called to be and strive to live as Christ would have us live, to witness to the faith we share, to allow our spirits to heal from sorrows and losses in life, to seek to heal broken relationships, to seek to grow closer to God and to all those around us. We need to prepare so that we're ready for the baby's birth and our own rebirth. we need to look for and see signs of hope, even in the midst of struggles in life. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for in this season and in your life? And even on this day, what are you waiting for? Amen.
Gathered together, let us confess our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
As we await the coming of Christ in mercy and majesty, let us pray for the church, the world, and for all people according to their needs. Come quickly, Lord. Thank you for promising to deliver us from the threatening powers that seek to harm us. Come quickly. Thank you for being our King and Savior, healer and redeemer. But come quickly to establish your reign perfectly and forever. Lord, in your mercy. Come quickly, righteous branch from Jesse's root. Make your church holy, faithful, and tireless in proclaiming your sure approach. By its witness of words and deeds, lead many to repentance and faith in you. Rule among your servants in this congregation. Bestow your Spirit upon us. Help us to show mercy and kindness to one another and to live in harmony as your people. Lord, in your mercy. Come quickly, wise counselor. Vindicate those who are persecuted on account of your holy name. Decide with equity on their behalf. Hasten the day when no one shall be hurt or destroy your holy people. Direct the thoughts and actions of everyone learning to be your faithful disciples. Grant them right judgment, godly actions, and joy in your presence. Bestow your Spirit upon them and upon all proclaimers of the gospel until the whole earth is full of knowledge of your saving mercy. Lord, in your mercy. Come quickly, God of power and might. Establish your glorious and gentle rule among the nations. Teach the rulers of the world to judge with righteousness, to deliberate with equity, and to care for the poor and needy in their charge. Give us grace to live in peace with one another and to show one another mercy even when that is hard. Lord, in your mercy. Come quickly, gentle Savior. Protect our little ones from every danger and harm. Keep them safe from the fangs of predators and abusers, the poison of sickness and despair, the venom of lies and hateful words, the claws of warfare and every form of violence. Protect their innocence and help us to raise them in knowledge, fear, and joy in the Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Come quickly, King of Mercy. Banish those things which trouble your people in body, mind, heart, or soul. Especially, we lift before you all who crave your healing touch. Burnett, Gary, Bill, Joanne, Walter, Sheila, Aldine, Walt, Scott, Teresa, Mandy, Brody, Noah, James, Lore, Tyler, Judy, Robert, Joyce, the family of Becky Helms, Acoff, Gary, Garland, Cleston, Kenneth, Charlotte, Antonio, Terry and Michelle, Winfred and Jennifer and children, the family of Jennifer Waller, Charles, Colton, Lynn, Kay, Jordan, Madison, the family of Ben Klein, Randy, Tommy, all of our servicemen and women throughout the world, the Smith family, those who are unemployed and looking for work. Keep them safe from every evil and restore them to health, hope, fellowship with all who love them and wholeness. Lord, in your mercy. Come quickly, Lord of life, as we walk through life's dark shadows and winding paths. Bestow on us your righteousness, wisdom, and mercy. Help us to withstand the challenges we face and support one another along our pilgrim journey. Reunite us with all the saints, especially those most dear to us. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, grant to us, dear Father, for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Now say our mission statement, which is found on page 5 of your bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace, prepare the way, serve the Lord.